I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The moment Obama spoke, the case of Trayvon Martin passed out of its national mourning phase and lapsed into something darker and more familiar. Racialized political fodder. The illusion of consensus crumbled. Rush Limbaugh denounced Obama's claim of empathy. The Daily Caller, a conservative website, broadcast all of Martin's tweets, the most loutish of which revealed him to have committed the unpardonable sin of speaking like a 17-year-old boy. A white supremacist site called Stormfront produced a photo of Martin with pants sagging, flipping the bird. Business Insider posted the photograph and took it down without apology when it was revealed to be a fake. Newt Gingrich pounced on Obama comments. It is the president suggesting that if it had been a white who had been shot, that would be okay because it wouldn't look like him. Reverting to form, National Review decided to the real problem was that we were interested in the deaths of black youths only when non-blacks pulled the trigger. John Derbyshire, writer for Taki magazine, a iconoclastic libertarian publication, composed a racist advice column for his children inspired by the Martin affair. Among Derbyshire's tips, never help black people in any kind of distress. Avoid large gatherings of black people. Cultivate black friends to shield yourself from charges of racism. The notion that Zimmerman might be the real victim began seeping into the country, aided by PR efforts by his family and legal team, as well as by various acts of stupidity. Spike Lee tweeting Zimmerman's address, an act made all the more repugnant by the fact that he had the wrong Zimmerman. NBC misleadingly editing a tape of Zimmerman's phone conversation with a police dispatcher to make Zimmerman seem to be racially profiling Martin. In April, when Zimmerman set up a website to collect donations for his defense, he raised more than $200,000 in 2 weeks. Before his lawyer asked that he close the site and launch a new independently managed legal defense fund, although the trial date has yet to be set, as of July, the fund was still raking up $1,000 in donations daily. But it would be wrong to attribute the burgeoning support for Zimmerman to the blunders of Spike Lee or an NBC producer. Before President Obama spoke, the death of Trayvon Martin was generally regarded as a national tragedy. After Obama spoke, Martin became material for an internet vendor flogging paper gun range targets that mimicked his hoodie and his bag of Skittles. The vendor sold out within a week. Before the president spoke, George Zimmerman was arguably the most reviled man in America. After the president spoke, Zimmerman became the patron saint of those who believe that an apt history of racism begins with Tawana Brawley and ends with the Duke lacrosse team. The irony of Barack Obama is this. He has become the most successful black politician in American history by avoiding the radioactive racial issues of yesteryear, by being clean, as Joe Biden once labeled him. And yet his indelible blackness irradiates everything he touches. This irony is rooted in the greater ironies of the country he leads. For most of American history, our political system was premised on two conflicting facts. One, an oft-stated love of democracy, and the other, an undemocratic white supremacy inscribed at every level of government. In warring against this paradox, African Americans have historically been restricted to the realm of protest and agitation. But when President Obama pledged to get to the bottom of exactly what happened, he was not protesting or agitating. He was not appealing to federal power, he was employing it. The power was black, and in certain quarters, was received as such. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen.
And we are live on a Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm. End of the week.
End of the week. That excerpt, well, kind of the end of the week, unless you're premium, right? That the week is never done. That excerpt is from We Were 8 Years in Power, an American Tragedy by Ta-Nehisi Coates or Ta-Nehisi Coates. That made me think about, you know, how we're still kind of there today. You know, that was the very beginning of his presidency that happened, spawning, you know, this unabashed, demonization of Trayvon Martin and every victim of police violence who happened to be black after that. And also at the same time spawning, you know, movements like Black Lives Matter and people like that, you know, it's crazy how cyclical that is. And why Obama is such a complex figure to me, that you cannot simply throw it into this category of evil demagogue or you know, patron saint either. Like, this is not a country this is not a sanctified country. So whoever takes the mantle of leadership is going to some extent be tarnished by it and have to contribute to it, no matter who they are, no matter how pure you think you are, you couldn't do it. But it's also interesting because at that same time, the backlash to Obama was so unprecedented and unmitigated that we're still paying for it. In a way, black people wanted one thing from Obama, which was essentially to employ the federal government power with black authority, with black people in mind. And all he did one time is merely mention something being white people's fault, being white supremacy's fault, and the backlash is still going. Like, this is, you know, Donald Trump is the backlash. The people that support him is the backlash. Don't get it twisted. All these judge appointments are still the backlash. The defense of those white men coming to kill that man jogging in February 23rd, that is also the backlash. It's all the backlash to this moment that is such a seminal American moment. You know, in a way, you might be able to say that that moment has not due to by Obama's fault or anything, no one could have known, but that moment may have led to more death than anything ever in his administration. And that's including people that will say, you know, every drone bomb, every deportation is on him. Even if you try to include those numbers, some of the atrocities that have happened and some of the ways that he's tried to acquiesce to these people has probably cost a whole lot of lives. And also the election of Donald Trump, who has done everything 10 times harder than Obama did. Every negative thing you don't like, he's done harder. Every positive thing you did like or that mitigated harm, he's tried to take the brakes off of and allowed it to run roughshod of the American people. And even this crisis right here is the result of Donald Trump being elected. You know, the extent of the crisis, like, he didn't cause COVID-19, but he definitely hasn't done much leadership based off of it to stop the harm to American citizens. So you can make the argument that moment and white people's repulsion of President Obama picking a side, quote unquote, saying, hey, it's not okay to kill innocent black people, that right there really cost us a lot. So
yeah, and to me, I speak for myself. For me, the way that white people responded to just President Trump, just in general, just confirmed in me the way I was already feeling from the beginning about racism in America anyway. It just confirmed it. It just magnified it. The fact that they want to be considered progressive. America wants to be considered progressive without really being progressive.
Right.
They want the image of being progressive without actually putting in the work of being progressive. They want the face of it, they want the feel of it, they want the look of it, but they don't actually want that piece, because that piece would require change. And for I know for me, from and even to today, as wild as this may sound, from the time Obama became president, I was just like, I hope they don't kill him. That has always been in my heart, him or his family. That has always been in my heart. I just hope they don't kill him. He's not president no more, and I still go, I just hope they don't kill him. Because it's one of those things where, because of whiteness and how whiteness works, it's one of those things where you go, I'm happy and I'm excited, but I'm also fearful. I know for me at the time, and still am fearful, you know, for him and his family and their safety and all that type of stuff. Also, I think that when you were talking about the backlash, that backlash has been around forever. This has just bought the backlash in the modern day. We always go through these backlashes, but this was just one that was kind of up front in the face of social media, and where you couldn't ignore it, and you had to see it because it was everywhere. But yeah, this backlash has been coming ever since slaves were free, period. Ever since they was like, you have got to let them Negroes go. That's the backlash has been there, and it will never go away, because that power, that strangle, that hold of somebody being less than me as a white person in this country, that feeling will never go away. And this country works on particularly for white people, this country works on somebody being below them. That you can never be equal, because if you become equal, that means things have got to change. If you become equal, that means things have got to be acknowledged. If you become equal, that means all the things that my pawpaw and my grandma and my cousins and my aunts, all these things that I have been taught and I've been sharing and spreading to my children have been lies. And I have to challenge these things, and I have to look at them in a different perspective. But I don't want to do that. I like the system like it is because it benefits me. Even though for most white people it really don't benefit them, because most white people were not slave owners. Most white people, the same thing to today, they broke, they don't have. But the illusion of I am better than these people is what the American people hold on to. You see it all the time, like you was talking about yesterday with the only. Everything is only, because with them it's only. When they speak, it's only. White lives matter, only. You know, only. And for everybody else, it's a two. It's an also. Is in conjunction. We want to be included. But you can't include us when you want to make everything about a group of people or a populace or a population being less than you.
I think specifically in that moment, it was just people were riding high off of this idea of unity and hope and change and all this stuff, because look, we elected this black man. This was never supposed to even be possible in this country. What else could be possible? But there was always this undertone of with white people, it was very much like, unless he somehow admits to being black, and not just being black, because it was obvious that he was black. Like he wasn't running away from being black, but if he admits that to being black in America, in the sense of blackness has a weight to it, blackness has an unfair opposition up against it, and he could not admit that, and he had to always try to like find the middle ground between, you know, races, and talk about unity, and talk about hope, and talk about change, and talk about the positive things he'd experienced in his life and the things that America has come through and all this stuff. And for just really, I could only think of really those two incidences. It was this, and it was the Skip Gates thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had, like, after that, America turned on him so hard. And that's one of the reasons I really can't, like I said, I can't really call myself, I feel like I'm very progressive, blah blah blah, but I'm not that progressive, because progressive people abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when the administration needed us the most. That midterm, you know, we've paid the cost, because America has no will to fight those battles.
No, they don't.
When you fight those battles, it's very few people on your side. And, you know, I'll never really fuck with white progressives because of that. You know, the Michael Moores of the world, you know, that immediately start being like, well, we didn't get healthcare, fuck this dude. You know, fuck, you know, not, we should keep pushing, let's vote more people out of their local offices, let's get more Democrats in, we'll make sure that Obama has the numbers, because right now we have a couple Democrats who aren't really Democrats, they're basically Republicans with Democratic, there was no consideration of that. And so I think it's interesting that he essentially was told, and to this day still blamed for everything that went wrong after that moment, and no credit for anything he's done right or anything he's done that was attempting to do good. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, to me, I can trace it back to that moment. And I think that's one of the reasons that him and Michelle and their family will always be endeared to me. People always say it's because they're black, but that's not true. You know, people say that shit, but it's actually a slap in the face to black people when you say that.
Right.
Oh, just because he black? No. You know, because Ben Carson's black. Herman Cain's black. Dominic Silk are black. It wasn't that. It was more than that. You know, he was black, and then he didn't run from it. He embraced it. And then also, you know, he governed to it as well. You know, just because he didn't come out and call a bill the black healthcare bill, but then you look at who would be helped the most in this country by having healthcare, and you go, oh wait, that would be black people. Then you go, then part of you has to be like, wait, that's a thing that helps black people, you know. But instead, you know, I think that moment was a moment that a test that America failed, and that white people that claim to be progressive failed, that some black people failed, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people kind of let ourselves down, because all a president is an avatar for the country. And so we really let ourselves down, because we were more hurt by that, by going, he couldn't make them listen about this Trayvon Martin thing, you know?
Yeah. And also, excuse me, in my opinion, a lot of people, quote unquote, and I had to be like this. So many people had so much hope, and I understand the hope. But out of their being hopefulness, they were blinded to the reality of Obama being president. Blinded to the fact that, kind of piggyback on you, what you said, they hold him accountable for everything. And they were tricked into the point of, he's going to fix racism. He's going to fix these injustices. He's going to just fix everything. We got a black man in office, and now since we got a black man in office, you know, black and brown people, I feel like I have a voice, and he should just be able to go in there, just boss people around, and just tell people what to do, because that's how the office works, and the office does not work like that. They were under this illusion of who this man was. He actually truly believes that America can be a better version of itself. He never ran his office saying that I'm only going to do things for black people. He never said this thing. This thing was never in the speech. Nothing. He was a true centrist. I will reach across the aisle. I will work with people. Like it's amazing what I heard and what other people heard during his speeches when he was campaigning. It's just amazing the illusion and how people were just blinded so full-heartedly by just hope and change that they didn't see anything else. You know, white people got to the point where they was like, well, we got a Negro in office, we don't have to worry about them being on the black shit no more. You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, being accountable, and, you know, are y'all acting free? This should erase, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of shit, you know. And this is why they get mad every time you mean black people shit, you know, black people stuff comes up through his mouth, because they're like, well, we put one of y'all in office. This right here should control, alt, delete, reset, and we shouldn't even have, why you bringing bullshit up? We voted for you. We voted for you twice. The fuck is this? And black people were blinded for the fact that they have a rage and holding him accountable for shit that he never said that he was going to do, and he never promised.
Some black people, not even the majority. It's a small percentage.
Yeah, a small percentage of people. And it's very, from my perspective, it's very frustrating. Most people understand and they see, and yeah, it's not the fact that you can't be disappointed and you can't be let down, because no president is perfect. No president has ever been perfect. But I think the expectations and the standards that we have for him is just, for me, sometimes they're just fucking ridiculous for a president.
Yeah. I think this moment, it being this moment, is something I'll never forget for the rest of my life, and I'll never be able to completely be like, well, yeah, I don't feel a need to defend that administration. I don't need to feel the need to defend the decisions that were made, because I do feel a need. because I don't feel like it was fair. The same way I feel the need to defend black people in a lot of situations, you know, maybe that's my bias or whatever. I'm not impartial on that, but you know, when some racist shit happens, I don't want to hear, you know, well, if we're being fair, you're not being fair. We can't even start there. This reminds me of another thing. You know, I listen to Bomani's show, The Right Time, on ESPN, the podcast, and he was interviewing man, I can't remember his name, but he is like a very influential writer. Hold up, I have to get his name because this motherfucker wrote for Slam, and that's the reason that I even fucking listen to Scoop Jackson. So he was interviewing Scoop Jackson, and they were talking about Michael Jordan. He's talking about Michael Jordan's like advocacy and his activism and stuff. And Bo and, you know, Jemele Hill, a lot of people have been down, kind of down on Mike to a certain degree, which is that Mike never stepped all the way up and was like, you know, kind of like a outspoken black activist. He never was like publicly verbally, you know, engaged in that type of work, you know. And I think time has been more fair to Jordan, even though, you know, obviously it's a bit unfair as well, but because, I mean, as Bo brought up, we don't ask Larry Bird to speak on nothing. Nope. It don't matter what the cause is. And white people get to opt out of shit. Tom Brady don't have to do nothing.
Right.
Cam Newton can't say, you know, Cam Newton gotta take a knee, you know.
Right. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's my thing. It's like, for me, I'm okay with black people to be like, I don't want to opt into that. I just want to play my sports.
And at the time, he even gave money to Harvey Gantt's campaign at the same time that he joked offhandedly, like, Republicans buy shoes too. And what I found interesting though is there's just always this assumption, and I think it's a black assumption in America, and I think it's something we've been trying to do for years. I think it's what Obama's paid the cost with certain radical black people for. I think it's what Jordan pays the cost for with certain radical black people. But it's this idea that there is a magical Negro that can speak to them,
right,
to whiteness, who will get through to them. And I think I have left that into pasture so long ago now that I don't hold it against anybody who decides, yeah, I'm not speaking on this thing. It'll never bother me when a black person goes, no, because I truly do believe it's impossible to reach white people. I don't think it's possible for a black celebrity who's beloved by white people to say a thing that will make them get it. That's not how it works. You know, even with LeBron James, who speaks out, you know, via Twitter, social media, his own TV shows and stuff all the time, what has it changed? What white person has it reached? You know, the NBA players come out every day and they don't fuck with Donald Trump. So at some point, I'm like, it's not because you really think it'll affect change. You know, cause what more than likely will happen, no matter how much, no matter how influential the black person is, what's really gonna happen is they're gonna turn on them. Cause we do have a precedent for that. We have Barack Obama, the most popular black person of all time in 2008. And we have that moment where he says, oh yeah, I'm black. And they go, fuck you. And we've been paying the cost ever since. To think that that wouldn't happen to an unelected official like Michael Jordan, just a celebrity, to think that white people wouldn't be repulsed by him saying, entering politics and shit, is crazy. We don't have any precedent to think that it would change the world because Michael Jordan spoke up. I think what happens is that we are like that lost shepherd, that lost flock in the desert in the night. And we just need that shepherd in our minds. And we think that certain black celebrities can be that shepherd. Or they can at least call out to let us know we're not alone. Like, hey, I'm black too. And I see what's going on. And it's bullshit. And if they pay a cost for it, that's okay. We'll martyr them. You know, we'll be okay with that. Look at how we do Kaepernick. He paid the ultimate cost of losing his career. But he's kind of a saint amongst black people. He has no flaws now, you know. He doesn't even have to speak. You know, the thing that we said we wanted Michael Jordan to do, Kaepernick doesn't have to do it. He's good on any MLK Boulevard, right? So it's just kind of interesting to think about it in that terms of like, man, we give voice to this thing. We think we still have that impulse to think we can change it if we just give voice to it. They kill MLK.
Right.
You know, there is no getting through to them.
No, and I think, and you kind of brought this point up, since like MLK and Malcolm X, you know, a lot of black people have always looked for that quote unquote straight male leader to represent. And some people, they will never stop looking.
That's a great point, because MJ is a charismatic black man too, and then we flock to, and now you have to become a leader,
right?
You know, it was funny, not funny, but it was interesting seeing Jemele Hill, you know, kind of point out how, yeah, look, Jordan didn't step up in activism and stuff, and I'm like, look what they did to you. Like, they don't care how good you are at your job. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest in the world at it. White people just hate that you brought that shit up. It doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama. It doesn't matter if it's Michael Jordan. And we know who else hates when we bring it up too on the low. We do. Because then we turn on them for not being the Negro that could get through to them. You know, like, how could you fail us, Barack Obama? How could you fail us, Michael Jordan? How could you fail us? You weren't able to get through to them. You know?
Yeah, we're asking you to do it. We're asking you to do something that's impossible. And like I said before, this is why I don't fault any athlete or any celebrity or any black person that has money, influence, supply for not speaking out, because it's their choice and their right. Until you start asking these white people these questions about black people getting shot in the street, I know, because
right.
Every black person isn't willing to lose their fortune. Every black person isn't willing to lose their endorsements. Why do I have to sacrifice for the cause? Like, you know, I mean, just keeping it real. You know, we expect you to just give up everything or be a. I just wanted to play sports. I didn't sign up to be an activist.
But
I
then
didn't
also,
sign up for that.
But also fruitlessly, right? We don't want you to like do it and then keep prospering and whatever. It's like, do it until you lose everything.
Right.
That's the only way some people are gonna be happy. And then they're gonna laugh at you for losing everything.
Correct.
But yeah, it's weird, because I remember when earlier this year, when Daryl Morey, or maybe it was last year, Daryl Morey tweeted, Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets, tweeted some like, you know, like, I'm supporting the protesters in China shit. And then everybody wanted LeBron James to basically say, fuck the entire NBA business with China, fuck my own personal business with China, fuck all of that stuff. I side with the protesters because freedom. And they wanted LeBron James to do that on a whim, by the way, without even knowing what was happening, for not knowing that he actually was in China when these fucking riots was going off and shit. They didn't give a fuck. They just wanted him to do it because, hey, you're black and you woke and you're like our puppet to a certain extent. And there's a level of autonomy to black people going, no. Like, I'm not your fucking errand boy. I'm not your, like, I'm not being treated the same as my peers, and I shouldn't have to, like, acquiesce to that. I shouldn't have to be the guy who becomes Martin Luther King because I can shoot a basketball real good. You know, I speak on the things I want to speak on. If you want to judge me for not speaking on the things I don't, that's cool, but understand, you don't fucking control me. You don't own me. And why don't you apply this pressure equally? Why is this pressure on me? Like, we're not going around to Luka Doncic and going, explain this China situation off the top of your head, real quick and make everybody happy. Make everybody understand it. Like, it's that kind of shit. So it made me think about that. All right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And my thing is, the truth be told, you'll never be happy, because at the root of the problem, you want to fix white supremacy and racism, and no one person and no one statement will fix that problem. And so, like I said before, until you do this equally, I'm fine with that. Like, if a black person chooses to speak out, I'm fine with that too. Like, you know, I feel, you know, equal against it. I'm not upset when you don't, and I'm happy when you do, but I don't hold it against you either way. You know, but, you know, it's funny how a lot of times, and I think too, in my opinion, before we move on, a lot of black people feel, hopeless. They feel powerless at their jobs, and they deal with depression and all this shit, and shit happens to them all the time, and they don't feel like they're in a position to speak up. So they feel like you in a position to quote unquote speak up, because white people acknowledge you and know who you are and know your name. You should do this on my behalf. But my thing, if you in your own individual life won't do it, why would you expect somebody else to do it?
Yeah, also say go listen to The Right Time with Scoop Jackson. I think it's the latest one Bo did. Great interview, and I think Scoop provides a perspective on Jordan that you just don't hear a lot. Like, cause he was there. He lived in Chicago. He covered the Bulls and the NBA at that time. So he actually knows what the fuck he's talking about. And while a lot of people bump their chest to be like, cause it's also a way to feel better than these people. Let's keep it real. It's like most things where we shit on celebrity activism. It's about making ourselves feel better than them, as if, well, if I had their money and their fame, this how I'd do it. And I would be, everyone would think I was the greatest, and they would all agree. Mm-hmm. And I think, I love the way he broke it down. I was like, but Jordan has always done so much stuff behind the scenes.
Right, that people don't know about. And that what kills me too.
And also, it's not just that, but he's done stuff behind the scenes, but everyone's not meant to be everything for everybody. Right. So you need a Michael Jordan the same way you need, you know, an activist. You need, and that's one of the flaws that we have when we view these things. We're not looking at it holistically. You know, it's like when Jay-Z and Beyonce were giving money behind the scenes to all these activist organizations. Nobody was going, you know, oh, that's just, they're doing a good job and they're staying in their lane and they need to just do that. No, it was like, and now if you don't start saying something, blah, 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 it's like, we're not going to let you grow into it. We're going to say you ain't shit. Like, fuck the money, fuck the people you help, fuck all that shit. You need to come out and give a speech. When you give a speech, then we'll see. You give a speech, you still ain't shit. You still rich. You don't do enough. Like, it was always going to be a loss sum for them. And I think some people just wised up to it early. Jordan wised up to it early. I think J&B wised up to it early. And they just go, I'm going to be my most authentic self and let these motherfuckers talk their shit and help what I can help and be comfortable in knowing that I have the best intentions.
Right, and also it's one of these things when it comes to activism and just black people's voices and people speaking up, it's like a body, and you need all parts of the body. Everybody can't be a mouthpiece. Everybody can't be a mouthpiece. And so you need people that are doing these other things. Like, I might not be a person that's out front, but what I can do is donate time, money, and talent. And these are things that people do that you don't always see. And so, yeah, I might not be the face of it, but I might be giving and donating and doing all types of shit that people don't see. And I think a lot of times when people make these blanketed statements like that, they don't know what these people are doing with their money. Everybody makes assumptions.
And when they do, they get mad about that.
Correct. So it's a lose-lose situation.
It's not enough, or you should have did it, gave it to this organization instead. Like, it's never fucking enough. And it's always like this idea that there was a thing you could have done to fix this white supremacy, and it's like, no the fuck there's not.
Correct.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. 10 o'clock at night. I hope our neighbors is okay with this.
loud ass singing.
Yeah, anyway, well, one of us singing loud. Anyway, you can got
also what trying to say.
I took it down a level, but you know, everybody at home for quarantine, I don't know what's gonna happen. But you know, I guess we'll see them on the Ring doorbell
right
before they get to us. Anyway, guys, this Blackout Tips, the Blackout Tips podcast, leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher and all that stuff. Yes. We love that stuff. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. Now let's get into the show. Normally we start with coronavirus, but I promised I wanna ask you, there's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? All right, let's get into our LGBTQ news, y'all. Okay, it's going around, it's going down, and it's mostly bad.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, man, why haven't I been doing this lately? And I was like, oh yeah, because I start with coronavirus. You know, normally after our preamble on blackness from a book that I read. So, yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of bad news, some good news. Let's see if we can get to it, guys. Experts warn gay men against hooking up due to coronavirus. Suggest masturbation and cyber sex.
Shouldn't this be something for everybody? I mean, it's a problem anyway.
How's it just are gay people the only people who breathe?
That's what I'm talking about. Shouldn't this be like a massive thing? It's like, hey y'all, I know everybody at home horny, but for the safety of everybody, stay the fuck at home.
Gay people get hornier than regular people. Oh, okay. I guess
they do.
Okay, you mean regular people? You mean straight? Yeah. So you had your people, then you had the gays, and so they are just a totally different organism.
You know, it gets spread through the glitter.
Yeah. I've never been an advocate of promoting this is Dr. Michael Brady, medical director for Britain's Terrace Higgins Trust. He said, I've never been an advocate for promoting abstinence, but this message is not about protecting your sexual health, it's about protecting your general health and those around you from a virus that can be deadly. This advice means that unless you have sex with someone within your household, it's important to find sexual pleasure in other ways. It's only natural that we look to sex for pleasure, to relieve stress and anxiety, or simply to pass the time. Whether that's with a regular partner or using hookup apps, but our new normal is that we have to find ways to do this while sticking to the advice to stay home. This isn't just to protect ourselves against coronavirus, but also to protect the most vulnerable in our society. Brady went on to note that although there's no evidence that COVID-19 is being spread sexually, it can be transmitted through any physical contact within 6 feet. The virus can, well, yeah, we know that. Yeah, I don't know why this is specific to gay men.
Me either.
I guess he's saying gay men use hookup apps and do more hookup culture than anybody else, but like I said, I don't know why that wouldn't be a general warning to everyone.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, everyone got access to them apps, dog.
Yeah, everybody, gay, straight, and everything in between.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the New York City LGBTQ Pride March has been canceled for the first time in half a century. Many Pride marches have had to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of plans for digital.
Yeah, and virtual.
And virtual, like Pride, celebrations, this year. So it's gonna, you know, people are gonna have to.
Yeah, and I think honestly through, and it's just my opinion, I think for a while, virtual stuff is going to be a standard, even as things open up and even as things go back to normal. Nobody's going to want to be the first organization to put something on and have hundreds and thousands of people come out there just for the coronavirus to break out doing their event.
Yeah, I think also with the LGBT community, after the 80s and how HIV was treated, they're probably at the same time the most prepared community to deal with, like, we need to change these rules to deal with COVID-19. Not to mention many people will be having pre-existing conditions because of the HIV epidemic. So in addition to that, they're probably the most prepared community, more so than even like straight people and stuff. They're probably like, no, we've been here, did this, stay the fuck in the house, let's all get through this together, blah blah blah. But at the same time, they're probably experiencing the most trauma and PTSD from this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Having been through a a viral pandemic where people did not care because they said, it's happening to you. And tell me that's not the same administration we have now that's saying, essentially, we're not following scientific advice and we honestly don't give a fuck how what happens to people. Now that may be new stuff for a lot of people who are privileged and straight that's never had to deal with this, or straight and never had HIV and stuff like that, but for a lot of people whose community was stigmatized by that, like, I can see how that would bring you right back to like, yo, I'm not dealing with this well at all. So I could, like I said, I could see, it's like being black, I could see kind of in a weird way that kind of, we've been here before, but also we never get out of here. We're always here in this state of panic and stuff. So Mike Bloomberg, remember him?
Yes.
Remember when everybody thought he was gonna, y'all black people, y'all better not vote for him in the South, he gonna win. Anyway, Mike.
Cause y'all dumb is down now. Y'all don't right. watch the same news that we watch in other parts of the country.
He spent a whole lot of money on ads. You know, you stupid niggas can't help yourselves. Anyway, Mike Bloomberg called transgender people it and some guy wearing a dress in a resurfaced video. Yeah, it's Mike Bloomberg. Who was shocked?
I mean,
he had racist videos. He had, no one was ever going to vote for this man. I don't know why.
Why people was like, what?
There was so motherfucking much panic over this shit. Trump administration unlawfully axing LGBTQ discrimination protections, suit claims. A lawsuit takes aim at the Department of Health and Human Services proposal that allows organizations to receive federal funds even if they exclude gays. These are the things that were on the ballot in 2016. These are the things that a lot of people took for granted and thought, well, we had 8 years of Obama, this stuff is here to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things too, to where people was like, we got gay marriage, yay, and people was like, okay, yeah, but we still need to push. And you know, some people's like, we made it, and other people's like, no, we haven't, there are still other things that we need to continue to fight for.
Yep, they plan to unlawfully stop enforcing non-discrimination protections
because they don't care
for LGBTQ Americans. And what they do is they always do this under the auspices of, we're saving money by not enforcing the thing. It's like, well, the government agency is designed to enforce the thing.
That's their job.
You know, it's the same thing they're doing with Title IX with Betsy DeVos. So they're basically going to make it so that it's systemized to ostracize victims of sexual assault off of college campuses and stuff, and then they're going to strip the investigation money out of the Title IX, and then provide extra, even more rights to people who are accused to basically intimidate the victims. Like, this is what they do, and they attack it through money to make it seem like it's a fiscal decision, but it's not a fiscal decision, it's a moral decision, it's an immoral decision.
Yeah, and then all you're gonna do is cause people to, a lot of people can't afford college anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's like a right and a privilege. It's like that thing, that classism thing. And then you're gonna cause a lot of people to go, well, I'm not going. I mean, colleges are still gonna make money, but you're gonna have a lot of the population to be like, the fuck I'm going to school for? And then what do you do if you have just enough number of people to go, I don't want to be a victim on a college campus, where it start affecting the college campus's bottom line?
Right. But yeah, I didn't mean to go on that tangent. That's my fault. The suit centers on notice of non-enforcement and a proposed rule issued by Trump administration in November that would reverse a 2016 Obama era rule prohibiting discrimination in HHS funded grant programs and permit federally funded organizations to turn people away claiming conflicts with religious beliefs. The suit was filed by civil rights group Lambda Legal and nonprofit Democracy Forward on behalf of three LGBTQ advocacy groups, True Colors United, Sage, and Family Equality. You know, it just hit me something, because that's another Obama thing that they rolled back. That one we didn't even have that long. That's only since 2016, so that's the last year's presidency. But it just hit me on something. You know how many times I've seen like a black person who was unhappy with Obama say some shit like, what did he ever do for black people and shit? Mm-hmm. And it's always a trick question, because anything you bring up, unless the fucking name of it was the blackity black nigga, I got y'all hook up from the black president to black folks, they're gonna say it don't count. But fuck the trick shit. What? So then you do admit though he did help certain groups of people? Cause a lot of times it's low key kind of couched in, he did stuff for gay people, not for us. You know, stuff like there's no black gays, but you know, right. Stuff like that. He did stuff for these people, but not us. It's always some weird shit like that. But my point being this, so if he did things for people that were positive, that you do agree helped groups that were marginalized, then why the fuck is that okay to then go, well, we'll just let a Republican in? Or I'll just won't vote, or it'll just be okay. Well, fuck it then. That's still something good happening from him being in the office. That's so crazy that was logic that a lot of people employed. Like, yeah, he only helped women and gay people and dreamers and this and that. And it's like, okay,
those
so
people count too.
What is that? So then let Trump in? That doesn't make sense. That is anyway. Essence Women in Hollywood luncheon honors trans women of Pose. The trailblazing cast and writer director producer of Pose, MJ Rodriguez, India Moore, Dominique Jackson, Angelica Ross, Haley Sahir, and Janet Mock were honored Thursday at Essence's annual Black Women in Hollywood luncheon, where Mock called on the community to acknowledge that black trans women and girls are worthy of our protection and care. Too often black trans women and black queer and gender nonconforming folk put their bodies on the line every day to be themselves, Mock said. Grappling with housing and joblessness and a lack of access to healthcare education, navigating our people's intolerance and willful ignorance, pushing our sisters out of homes, intolerant schools and churches, and into detention facilities, foster homes, prisons, and deeper into poverty. And these alarming issues remain widely unaddressed because we as a culture do not acknowledge that trans women are women, that black bodies are valuable, that black trans girls and black trans women are worthy of our protection and care. Her speech, which had many in the room wiping away tears, went on to celebrate the cast of Pose and the work they do to put black trans stories front and center. The struggle for black people must include black trans and queer people, period. And this award affirms that our stories, our lives, our experiences matter, and reassures that the way that we tell it from the perspective and talents of those who've lived it is most impactful. Yes, yeah, interesting, because I do watch Pose. And me and Justin, you know, we often come and talk about it on the show. But one of the things I noticed was, like, the criticism of that show was so fucking harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about from, like, bigots and shit. I mean, from fucking people that claim to be supportive or within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my place to, you know, I don't, even if it was my place, I don't spend time arguing with people on fucking social media about TV shows and shit. I'm not doing it.
Oh, no.
But one thing I always felt was like how horribly unfair and cruel the criticism was towards the show. You know, whether it be people going, well, these people can't act. Well, for some folks, we don't get the opportunities to be seasoned actors. And some of those actors on the show did improve throughout the seasons. Some of them you just needed to get used to the way that they portrayed characters, because it was like, okay, now I know what to expect from this character. Some of it, you know, you need these, the characters need to have moments, and you know sometimes you have a moment on the show and that's when you finally get a character, stuff like that. People getting mad at certain storylines, why they killed a dark-skinned trans woman. Don't we all say dark-skinned trans women are the ones dying on these streets? Pose is not fantasy, it's advocacy through their telling their own story. So it would almost be irrational, and they still kept the actress on the show, like, employed, by the way. But it would almost be more fucked up to go, well, nah, we're gonna change that story because, you know, guys, we don't want people to know this is happening. Like, it's like, because there's only one show like this, right? They end up in the trap of blackness, except now they're black and they're dealing with LGBTQ issues throughout it too. So like they fall into the double trap of, you got to represent for all the black people and all the LGBTQ storylines, period, and we want you to advocate for us, but we also want you to be fun, and we want fantasy and escapism, but we better have some realism, because if it ain't real, y'all full of shit, I'm not gonna watch it. And it just felt like a trap for them. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, after you deal with all that critique and criticism disguised as love or whatever, you then don't get rewarded by your own fucking people. Mm-hmm. You know, BET awards don't, yeah. You know, like people had to advocate for that show for 2 years for them to finally get on stage and get acknowledged while they were breaking fucking records and shit. So you know, it's a damn shame, to be honest, because it's such a catch 22. But anyway, I never wanted to contribute to any of that shit, because I was like, I mean, I get it. Some people, it's like they can't help themselves. It's like, I gotta say this. But for me, I never felt comfortable being like, I'm gonna come for this show's neck, or I'm gonna show y'all, you know, this how y'all should have did it and shit like that. Cause it's like, imagine this your first time even getting to tell this fucking story. You know what I mean? Like, what should happen is that we should have more stories about black trans women and black LGBTQ life. And then we wouldn't feel so much, well, hopefully one day, maybe people wouldn't feel so much pressure to have every show tell every story and get every story correct, you know, in the way that they feel is correct,
right?
Because there's really no right way.
Oh, never.
Poses entered millions of homes, enabling viewers around the world to meet, to know, to love, to root for five trans heroines. Characters on other shows who would be mere sidekicks or subplots or punchlines, but Pose moves these characters from the margins to the center stage. I'm awed every day by the talent, the grace, the beauty of these women next to me. They are the heroes that I've been waiting for. The six of us together have helped change the face of American family drama. The other thing I liked about this is, I believe Pose is a Ryan Murphy show, and because he's a white dude, a straight white dude, I know there's never a shortage of people willing to be like, man, fuck that person or whatever. But Ryan Murphy seems to have empowered the cast to tell their own story. And this is not the first time he's done something like that, where he's like shown up, put his name on something, and then was like, okay, for American Horror Story, ladies, take care of it. You know, you guys got it. It's yeah. Your show now. Right. All I did was executive produce.
I put my face up front so the shit'd get greenlit.
And I've never heard the people who work with him come out and be like, yeah, he's a piece of shit, he treated us bad. Like, everybody's like, no, makes a great fucking, he's a great ally, he does great work, he empowers us, he teaches us shit, he gives us the tools to make our own shit so that eventually we'll go. So I think people come at Ryan Murphy in a way that I think is unfair, at least the people I see. They come at him a bit unfair simply based on the moniker, well, he's a white man, so we can, you know, we get to say anything about white men. It's like, so he can't do a good job and be a white man? What if he's just doing the things that y'all would want him to do with that position of power? Like, we can't say that was cool? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's being the, you know.
Oh, he's gay, according to Ray in the chat, so. And he's gay! So that's even less of a reason to hate him, okay? He out here being gay and helping you blacks. Jesus!
Being an ally y'all claim y'all want!
Good grief, what more do you want? The man's out here.
Never satisfied. Never.
Sacrificing everything for you motherfuckers. But Ryan Murphy be making some good ass shows, though. Anyway, speaking of good ass shows, during a pandemic, conservatives are protesting the gay ducks on Disney's DuckTales.
Oh, is gay ducks on DuckTales? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I watch DuckTales.
Oh, yeah, that's your jam.
Yeah, they did it again on the Disney, the Disney Channel or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, it's like a reboot. Yeah,
it might be on Disney Plus too, if you guys got Disney Plus. But I watched them all. I fucking love DuckTales. This shit is good. Way before the gay ducks even, it was good, by the way, just in case y'all wondering. But my thing is, one, these niggas was barely in the fucking thing. I watched the show. So like, it was near the end after I think the little girl's name was Violet, her and like Huey, or you know, one of the triplets,
mm-hmm.
was like trying to be the best they version of like Boy Scouts.
I remember seeing that episode in the background. Yes.
Yeah. And so at the end, like the lesson that he learned was essentially, he wasn't the best of the Scouts, she was better than him. and he needed to learn to be okay with that, because his whole thing was like, I'm a boy, I'm better, I'm a win. And then you get to the end, it's like, nah, she better and she got more badges than me. And I forget which badge I think, oh, and the badge that he got at the end was the badge for failing. It was like, you know, trying and failing is also a worthy thing, so don't knock yourself too hard. So that's what, let's say the whole episode is 22 minutes. That's at 22 minutes and 45 seconds, y'all. That's when he learns the lesson. And then the two dads come out and like, Violet, you did it. And they got on shirts, and the shirts say, both of the shirts say, I'm with dad.
Oh,
right. So it wasn't like they was in this shit for an hour. They was in it for the last 15 seconds of the fucking thing, and these niggas mad. Keep in mind, these fucking ducks have robot ducks.
Yeah, they do.
Superhero ducks, villain ducks. So you not worried about your kid being nothing on the show but gay? Of all the kind of ducks, which ducks is out there and shit? You know, like, why? Like, they're like, I don't care if my kid wants to put on a robo duck outfit and fight crime, okay? I don't care if he want to be a cyber duck and try to fly off the top of a building and kill himself. I don't care. But if he gonna see some gay ducks, well, what's he gonna do next? He gonna be out here trying to, I don't even care if he tries to have sex with a duck, but not the same sex of a duck. I know that much. Like, it's the fucking duck. It's fucking cartoon ducks, man. I honestly feel like the agenda is for gay people to not exist.
Yes.
So all right, I'm gonna take it off mute. You can see it in the chat?
Yes.
Okay, it's 40. Y'all, I'm not joking. This is the end of the episode. This clip is a minute and 21 seconds long. This is the 45th second that I'm playing.
And now, welcome the newest senior woodchuck, Violet Apollonia Saberwing.
That was about 17 seconds or whatever, right? Hold on, it's there we go, it's loading.
We learned an important lesson today. The adventure is not always about
that was it, y'all.
They just walked on stage.
Yes.
Bahana, you in the two feet tall, you ain't paying attention, you wouldn't even realize the shirts.
That and so of course they of course that's outrageous. The kids can't, the 10 seconds of gay duck shirts has completely changed everything for the children.
Mess your kids up for life.
1 Million Moms director, which probably has about 3 moms in it.
Yes.
Monica Cole goes on to accuse Disney of indoctrinating children by exposing it. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Indoctrinating children by exposing them to homosexual relationships through a facade of normalcy. If anyone still has any doubt on where Disney stands on this controversial issue, hopefully this makes it clear that there is a LGBTQ agenda they are forcing on young audiences. She goes on to say to Disney CEO Bob Chapek that conservatives will not watch DuckTales nor support this company as long as the network veers away from family friendly entertainment. And that's how they get you, because apparently gay people are not part of families
or friendly.
They are very anti-family, aggressive
and anti-friendly,
just mean, anti, against families and mean motherfuckers. Oh my god, for
what
shirts.
Do you do
the gays in their shirts, y'all? That's how they get you
every time.
You're looking at DuckTales, next thing you know you're sucking duck. Sorry. My bad. That was autocorrect. Black gay ex-police officer claims homophobia and racism is a cancer in the force. Trust me, I should know.
I don't know what to say.
I mean, he wrote a book on it, but you know what? I actually do know what to say. I think we're all shocked here, guys. It's just breaking news that the cops don't just have a race problem, but a homophobia problem, guys. Okay.
What?
Yeah, yeah. He said it's too ingrained in the police force for any change to take place. Yep. He has a book he called, a book he wrote recently called Forced Out, about the homophobic and racist abuse he endured while working as a police officer. I think it's too ingrained and I doubt it will change in my lifetime, said Maxwell. They talk the talk, but there is no real punishment for misbehavior. Yeah, I'm not gonna finish. I'm not gonna insult y'all by finishing reading this, but
please don't.
We knew. We been knew.
All them isms and phobias and schisms all connected.
Yep. Transgender fire chief files discrimination suit over firing. A transgender fire chief has filed a federal discrimination lawsuit against a small Georgia city where she led the fire department for more than a decade, then was fired 18 months after she began coming to work as a woman. Yeah, it's funny how that, we do the, like, you know, these are the heroes, the first responders. We have to protect them. Every night at 7 o'clock, we stand and applaud and cheer for them. And at the same time, it's like, this nigga, what? It's fire, man. You are gone. You know, like, just so easily dismissed her.
Ignorance.
Rachel Mosby says her firing last summer by the city of Byron not only cost her wages and retirement benefits, but also tarnished her reputation. The lawsuit filed Tuesday in the U.S. District Court of May. You know what I just thought? What judge is going to take it?
Right.
Is it going to be one of these Trump judges?
The 30% he don't put in some of these federal courts?
People have put our society in so much jeopardy with these fucking judge, like, letting this asshole get to pick who's going to be the judge. Who knows where these trials are going to go? You know, stuff that used to feel like, man, this is fucked up, but at least I know at some point court will give this person justice if they fight long enough.
Yep.
You cannot feel that way at all anymore.
Even if they go to the Supreme Court, either they won't talk about it, which means you're gonna push it back down to whatever the lower courts decide, or either they're gonna decide against it.
Well, I know under Jeff Sessions, and I don't know if it's the same under Barr, but they was like, we not even gonna attempt to defend these cases where we're trying to stop discrimination against LGBTQ people. That's over. We're done with that. So, you know, you don't have the government coming to help you. And if anything, they're stripping laws and rules and regulations away so that people can be discriminated against. So, yeah.
So what you can be discriminated against and there's no repercussions.
Yeah, there'll be no justice for you. Like, Jesus Christ. Bro.
Right. And the thing is, this right here is a part of that Make America Great, I want my country, take my country back shit that Donald Trump campaigned on. And you know, it's one of those things when people was like, hey, this includes everybody that's not a straight white man, and people didn't want to hear these people that was coming out from all groups going, hey, everybody's going to be excluded except for that group of people.
The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has treated LGBT-based job discrimination cases as illegal sex discrimination since 2013. That's not that long ago.
No.
That could end if the U.S. Supreme Court decides firings and harassment based on workers' sexual orientation or gender identity don't qualify as sex discrimination under the Civil Rights Act. The Supreme Court heard cases on that issue October 8th. Its ruling is still pending. So, yeah. From the highest court in the land, we could literally rob this woman of any sense of justice, you know. And honestly, man, this is one of those things where, you know, obviously I know the people that listen to our show are mostly, you know, pro LGBTQ and whatnot. But let's say you weren't for a second. Let's say you just were like, I don't even care or whatever. I don't, you know, fuck that. Okay. But then how would you justify someone who can do the job being discriminated against and losing the job based on this? Like, wouldn't you feel that that's still unfair, even if you said, I don't agree with blah blah blah? You know, like, even if you had that level of homophobia, transphobia within you, wouldn't it still be an injustice, even despite all that? Like, it's crazy. I mean, anyway, last one. Boy George.
Mm-hmm. I do know that white man.
Mm-hmm. Boy George isn't one to let a little thing like a global pandemic stop him from being on the wrong side of history. In a new interview with Britain's The Sunday Times, the former Culture Club singer returned to his familiar criticism of modern pronoun usage, a favorite topic of George's. He claims that transgender and non-binary people who ask to be referred to by pronouns that are consistent with their identities want to be offended because they think that whatever's going on for them is much more important than anything else. When I was growing up, nobody used the term transgender because it was almost like a medical term, he told the conservative-leaning newspaper. So this transgender thing is new, and for our generation, it's just getting our heads around it. George, whose androgynous appearance made him a queer icon in the mid-1980s, added that he is reluctant to pander to others' ideas about gender because of what he went through to be who he is. The area we would get into trouble is that it's permissible to say to a gay person, address me as this, address me as that, he said. The comments are particularly ill-timed given that the UK government is currently floating the idea of banning medical transitions for trans and non-binary children under the age of 18, but that they are nothing new for George. Earlier this year, the musician caused controversy on Twitter after referring to individuals' pronoun preferences as merely a modern form of attention-seeking. Boy, George talking about somebody seeking some fucking attention?
What?
Boy, George? Y'all just out here trying to get some attention.
You?
I would never. In my sequin sparkling dress that I'm gonna sing,
and my hair is every color of the rainbow.
Yeah, I mean, I was only on MTV, you know.
I only made a career off of this, attention seeking,
right? Face beat to the gods. I made a career off of this, but you know, you motherfuckers, y'all trying too much. Leave your pronouns at the door, George tweeted. George, you really like told us how to address you in your name. You added boy to it. Your name is just George. You literally was like, call me boy George. Okay, I want to be called a boy. Okay, maybe. What the fuck? When his followers voiced their disappointment that someone whose gender expansive persona had been formatted for many trans and non-binary, formative for many trans and non-binary people, was express such views, George doubled down. He suggested that being referred to in a manner that corresponds with one's sense of self is just as ridiculous as someone calling him Napoleon. Boy, George. He's denied, however, that he is transphobic. Well, I mean, that's par for the course. Nobody's racist. Nobody's any of these things. I mean, have you ever asked, like, George Zimmer if he's racist? He gonna tell you no.
Right.
If you ask fucking Strom Thurmond if he's racist, he'll tell you he's no. You know, in hell, where is that? Probably the black part of hell, because that, you know, that would be his hell. He'd be double hell. Let's send him to Negro hell. He'd be like, no, this is exactly what I didn't want. George, he said, in a statement provided to Pink News earlier this year, a representative said, asking whether boy George is transphobic is so stupid it doesn't warrant a response. I know you are, but what am I, was his other response. Yeah, here's the thing I keep thinking about, though. This is two things here. One, it's fucked up that he's so iconic to so many trans people, and then mm-hmm. he is rejecting that and rejecting them, essentially. And at a cost of nothing. It costs you nothing to recognize somebody's pronouns. Maybe you won't be the best at it. Maybe you'll forget. Maybe you'll fuck up, but that's life.
Right.
You know what I
mean? That was my biggest fear, but yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I've had to accept that. Like, there's people that, you know, we know that are trans, non-binary, stuff like that. And, you know, hopefully, you know, my heart is going to always be in the right place. And I'm trying to undo fucking 40-something years of programming of gender is binary and all this shit.
That's a hard thing to break.
Yeah, but this, I think, and I think this isn't just boy George, it's a lot of people mm-hmm. listening to this right now. there's this idea that because someone is advocating for themselves that they're waiting for you to fuck up and not be perfect, and so why even try? You know, because when I may refer this person as she, I may refer this person as he, and I'm a fuck up and I made a mistake now and I'm not perfect and I didn't do the thing, I didn't pass the test with flying colors, so I'm not even gonna attempt to try. I'm scared I'm gonna fuck up, so no, I will not. I'm gonna just do what I always been doing. But why be that asshole? You know, it's so much easier to just to like it. I can respect the attempt to try. I can't respect the lack of attempt. You know, it doesn't cost you nothing. The other thing I kept thinking about too, and this is something I've heard other gay males say, but maybe it also, there may be lesbian women that say it as well, I don't know, but I've definitely heard gay males say is like, what about the struggles of the gay movement before now, and now you got trans people and the genderqueer people and non-binary people taking advantage of what we did. This is our work, and we feel like you asking us to do more, and by do more, we're not talking protests, we're not talking activism, just literally recognize our pronouns. By doing more, by asking us to do more, you're essentially insulting the work we've already done. And I find that to be the weirdest fucking argument. Maybe it's just because I'm black, I don't know. But to me, that's like if Al Sharpton was like, y'all Black Lives Matter people really asking for a lot. Like, no, you can't be the person that asked everybody to push your shit, made everyone uncomfortable, and then go, okay, but now you asking me to progress and that's making me uncomfortable, so fuck progress.
And the thing is, they've always been there. The fuck? Like, right. They have always been there.
Yeah, it's also like, we made it far enough.
Right. You know? And that's the shit that make the marginalized people within a marginalized group go, well, then fuck you.
It's the Dave Chappelle joke about the LGBTQ group, and they're all in the car, and how, you know, they put the trans people in the back and they treat the bi people and the non-binary people, they treat them fucked up, like, because essentially it's like, no, the gays are driving, like, we got this shit up front, we're telling you where to go. And that was, it's such a brilliant joke. Wish it didn't come from a transphobic ass comedian, but it's a brilliant fucking joke, because that really is the analogy that sums it up perfectly, with the, like, we're like, yeah, we did all this work, but not for you to use it.
Not for you.
Like, that's insane. But yep, Boy George, who would have known? I really didn't know that. I don't know, that's just crazy. I guess it's how people feel they look at Dominic Silk. It's like, you niggas is anti-black,
you.
But y'all are definitely within the group of people that are bad blacks.
Right. And it, and the thing about Boy George, even before I understood LGBTQ or any of that stuff, I was introduced to him.
Right.
Like for me, it was kind of the first dip into that world, if that makes sense, for me personally.
Yes. That's just really a fucking shame. That's all I got for that. Wow. All right, let's move into something else. Let's see, what else can we talk about? I think I'm gonna skip coronavirus for today.
Okay.
We'll go to some other news. I already brought this up, but Betsy DeVos released the final changes to campus sexual assault policies. Under the reworked federal rules, alleged student perpetrators will have added protections, including the presumption that they are innocent throughout the disciplinary process and the right to be provided all evidence collected against them. Those students can also cross-examine their accusers, although it must be done through a lawyer or representative. The rules go into effect August 14th. The Department of Education changes are a reworking of the 1972 law known as Title IX, which prohibits gender discrimination, including sexual assault, on college campuses as well as in primary and secondary schools. Under the Obama administration, the definition of sexual harassment was less specific, described as unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature. But the meaning has become narrower. The misconduct must fall under certain categories, including unwelcome conduct that is so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive that it denies a person equal access to the school's education program or activity. Yeah. So
what, that definition doesn't make fucking sense.
The new rules also include allegations of stalking, domestic violence, and dating violence must be investigated. Schools are still able to set their own standards of proof for whether a student violated the code of conduct policy. In March, three Democrat senators, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Patty Murray of Washington, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, wrote a letter to DeVos asking her to delay the formalizing the guidelines, which they consider misguided, and instead focus on helping schools and students navigate through the ongoing coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, she don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah, that wasn't a priority at all. They don't even care if them kids get coronavirus. They just out here trying to get this shit passed.
They don't care about the schools opening back up and your kids getting sick, because and maybe this is just me, my prediction is that a lot of colleges are going to suffer after the coronavirus thing, because a lot of people are like, I'm not sending my kid back to school. A lot of college campuses are going to do shit online. A lot of, you know, people are going to withdraw from the universities. So you're going to end up in the long run hurting these universities, because as far as Bessie DeVos is concerned, she don't actually give a fuck about the organization that she's over.
18 state attorney generals also wrote a similar letter. The attention on how to address sexual assault on college campuses comes amid the larger Me Too movement, focusing on claims of sexual misconduct that might otherwise be ignored. Advocates for, man, but this is the thing. You always knew there was a fucking time limit on the Me Too movement. Like, and there's not, the Me Too movement is such a weird thing to say, because I mean, one, you need to acknowledge the power of it and all that stuff. Like, it's actually a moment and stuff. But it's like, from inception, it was almost seen as, this is a moment that will pass. It's like,
eventually, we will go back to the default.
Yeah, it's like everyone was kind of saying, it's like even the people advocating it are kind of, unfortunately, it's like you're admitting, like, and this will not be a thing that we can sustain. So we got to get everything in while we can. I think that's why people got to the point where, you know, even if, you know, it didn't give a fuck what you did, you was going on the Summer Jam screen, because it's like, I literally may never ever get a chance to tell this story and be heard again. So yeah, this nigga one time got handsy with me on a date. Put it on the public record. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's not like all this shit is going to trial, people going to jail, any of this shit. Some people might lose a job or two or something. Extreme cases go to jail. Extreme cases, maybe you lose a lot of jobs. But for the most part, it's just like, it always felt like there was a ticking thing. And part of the reason it felt like it was ticking to me is that the fucking sexual harasser in chief is Donald Trump. You know, and the people he's surrounding himself with and the people who are in charge of the country right now all don't give a fuck about this. If anything, they care the opposite. People didn't keep that momentum going, you know, so it's just sad. But advocates for accused students have argued that some of the guidance under the Obama administration was too loose and unfair to alleged perpetrators, prompted DeVos to rescind his measure and pledge that the education department would embark on workable, effective, and fair system. But groups advocating for sexual assault victims worry that the changes will have a chilling effect on students coming forward if they feel uncomfortable with how they must report an alleged assault or worried about getting re-traumatized. Once school officials are made aware of an allegation, it must be taken seriously. Okay, said the guidelines. It's just weird too, because the other problem is it's not like this was an easy process before the changes.
Correct.
It's not like that was the problem. It's too easy to accuse people of rape. It's like, well, you can't even fucking go three steps. It's just rape. Everybody's on the campus getting accused of rape. Like, it wasn't even like that. But, you know, that's the fear that they try to put out there to society. Like, every boy in the class is accused of it, and we just couldn't take it no more.
That's not true.
So, yeah, we'll see what happened, with these new rules, and whatnot. And also, more importantly than even the changes to the rules, I would like to know the changes to the budget.
Come on.
Because the thing that they normally do is gut the fucking budget, so that even if you keep the rules and you need to investigate this, you ain't got the money to investigate the shit you're supposed to be doing. All right, let's see what else happened. Oh, yeah. Murder hornets is a thing now.
Yeah. I've been seeing that shit. the hornet's been walking up in the bee nest like, what's up, niggas? I'm murdering everybody.
Yeah, now, I don't know why they call them murder hornets, although I did see a picture of some that...
Them bitches are huge.
Well, yeah, of course they're huge, yes. They're very big hornets. But the picture I saw is a white person holding four of them in the palm of their hand, and they were huge, obviously. But they were also all black. Now, the other pictures I've seen of them, a lot of them have been yellow and black. But the one that dude had, they was just all black. And if that's the case, then I see why they named them murder hornets, okay? Because of racism. That's how they do us, okay? They always got some reason
to say that we... Because they were dead? I don't know.
Karen, please don't step on the bitch. They were like, these hornets are murderous.
Get out of here, bitch, with your facts.
BBS. They got big black stingers going hanging from them. And they got here trying to attack our precious little honeybees. And we need to, those could have been innocent hornets. They might not even have did nothing wrong.
But them white people pollinating flowers, minding their business.
Them white people called them motherfucking murderers, okay? We don't do this to other insects in the speech. We don't call larceny roaches. We don't say, oh, look at this assault and battery ants. Oh, these motherfuckers right here, the Grand Theft Grasshoppers is out here doing shit. We only do this to black animals, okay? Not to get too woke on y'all, but polar bears are actually the most dangerous bears, but you wouldn't know that because they be in what, all them Coca-Cola ads every Christmas.
Well, why? Chris got on land sharks
because they white, okay? Meanwhile, the white man says the black bear is the most dangerous bear, and the brown bear, they didn't even let them call them brown bears, they renamed them to grizzly bears. They renamed them after a horrendous murder scene. But they not ready to talk about that.
Yeah, your third eye wide open. Talk about me.
Okay. I'm just trying to inform the audience, Karen, of the trickeration of the white man that is going on right now, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. It's a lot of...
The gritty...
These things just took over me.
A lot of motherfuckers out here sleeping on what they doing to us, okay? I don't think these hornets murdered anybody.
You don't?
Certainly, I would like to see them get a fair trial. How come every time I see the hornets, they dead, okay? Nobody says anything about that, okay? They kill the hornets, and then they frame them.
Murder hornets' lives don't matter.
The white man is probably the one killing the bees and then framing the poor little innocent black hornets. They just want to live their life.
Lock them up.
They just out doing normal shit, okay? Going to the store, driving home. Why you pulling me over, officer? You know how fast you was going, hornet?
Take them to jail.
This is a mighty nice car for a hornet.
It starts with murdering, and then next thing you know, you're robbing me. I'm good.
This is a mighty nice car for a hornet to be driving you. You sell drugs? What kind of hornet job you got? That you able to push a whip like this?
You sending honey in the community?
Something is up with this, and we need people to look further and look past the name. Mm-mm. They want you to think they murderous. Mm-mm. Okay?
They chopping people's heads off, nigga. Yes, they murderous.
You know who else they said this about? When Donald Trump came down them stairs, what did he tell you? He said that Mexicans was rapists and murderers. And what are they telling us about the Asian? You notice how they put the Asian on the Asian murder hornets.
Yeah, how do we get the Asian? I just thought they was murderous.
Right, because you fell for the propaganda, Karen, because you always follow for this bullshit.
I don't care what race,
the pure Asiatic black hornet.
I don't care what LGBTQ, I don't care. Throw them in jail.
The pure Asiatic black hornet comes to America just trying to get the same opportunities that all the other immigrated insects got. We didn't care how cockroaches got here.
I don't discriminate.
We don't call them names. Okay, you got cockroaches all throughout New York and nobody says not a word. Okay? They just on the trains right now luxuriating because all the humans is inside. They made a show about cockroaches.
So we're going to go outside and just die.
They called it Joe's Apartment. I never saw Joe, but I saw them roaches. It was Roach's Apartment. And they let that be on TV, y'all. Oh, the mascot for Cheerios is what? A honeybee.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
A nice, clean honeybee.
Fall for that propaganda if you want to, sister.
A nice, clean, well-spoken honeybee.
I stand with the black murder hornets, okay?
Yeah, like somebody say, a yellow bee, not them black bees.
Murder hornets' lives matter.
No, they don't. Not in my book.
They matter to me.
Mm-mm, they don't matter to me.
I might get me a couple. Let them sit out there on my balcony, okay?
The hell you will.
Mm-hmm. I'm not scared of them.
I am. Do that if you want to. I go out there and I be the murderer.
Soon as a black person start defending themselves, all of a sudden they a murderer. I bet you it was self-defense. Them bees are probably fucking with them hornets. Hornets just minding their business. Bees come over there like, oh, what you doing jogging in my neighborhood? Oh, we just got some bee shotguns out here. And now all of a sudden, I'm the one in trouble.
You mess with me, it'd be a black-on-black crime, because I'm taking you out. Bad enough you got murder in your name. I'm not gonna wait to be the next victim.
You falling for the propaganda. I guess Trayvon Martin is a murderer too then, huh? Trayvon Martin a murderer? Is that what you think too? Because that's what they said. That's what they say about us, Karen.
Trayvon Martin and a bee!
That's what they say about us. They call him a big black murder black person.
They didn't call him a big black hornet.
Oh, so if they say a hornet, it'd be okay to kill him? Okay. They just taking our lives and you part of it. I know you was gonna turn the diamond to silk on this show.
Well, I'm sorry I fell for the honey trap.
Apparently you did. What if God is providing us a solution to a problem that we have? No one's thought about this. Well, I have. Okay. So let's say they are murder hornets, okay? Let's say they really do kill 40 people a year or whatever.
Come on, you murdering
okay,
somebody.
Okay, Karen, Jesus Christ, let me do the joke. Please. Let's say that that is what's happening. Why are we looking at this as a negative? I feel like we have another problem we need to solve that can be solved by murder hornets. And this is fucking reopen rallies. How about we invite the murder hornets to the fucking Trump rallies, okay? Just let them get out there and mingle with the coronavirus gun-toting motherfuckers. And just let, now we got two problems solving themselves, okay? You got the white people with guns taking their ass inside the house like they're supposed to be.
A double homicide. They gonna team up and it's gonna be a real problem.
I'm over here trying to come up with fucking solutions. We prayed to God for a solution and he sent us murder hornets and you stupid motherfuckers are about to let them die out. You're gonna try to kill them and run away? No, they even went to the right parts of the country, the Northwest. I'm like, yes, take them white people, get them back in the house, send their ass over there. How can we get some to some of these St. Louis? We need some Michigan murder hornets. We need to get their ass at these rallies immediately. Okay.
You think as soon as they show up, the murder hornets just come out the blue?
I'm taking murder hornets to the beach, okay? Letting them motherfucking, let them get out and spray it all over their ass. Just, okay, y'all think it's all good out here? Y'all won't listen to the police, huh? You won't stay inside, huh? MAGA this, MAGA that. Let these hornets on your ass, and then we gonna see how you feel about it. I'm just saying. Trying to solve problems. All right.
Size killing your skid. I was taking it kind of personal because
it's okay. I do the Justin does it every week, so why not you? Matter of fact, let's just get out of here, guys. Let's just go to Guess the Race. I feel like that was as much jokes as I fought to get that much jokes out.
I was killing the jokes. Mm-mm-mm. Ain't that like a one, a joke killer?
You a murder joke killer. Murder, yeah. Murder co-host.
I was killing it today.
All right. Let's do some Guess the Race. Let me get the music up. Spotify's moving slow. All right. Where's my Guess the Race music?
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race.
the number one game show going across all the podcasts. And we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right. Let's see who we're guessing today. Story number one. Sheriff. Woman tried to fool deputies by pretending she weep inside an RV she allegedly broke into.
Oh my, okay.
A woman is suspected of burglarizing the RV parked on the shoulder of the highway pretending like she was asleep to try to escape from deputies. Open up.
Oh, man. What's been going on?
How's it going? Officers seem to be the problem.
I've been asleep for a whole 3 hours.
Yeah, so anyway, nothing to see here. Just taking a nap. The incident happened early Saturday morning. Someone saw a person break into an RV. They called the police at the scene. Deputies found the RV, which was for sale, had been broken into. A sergeant shined his light in the vehicle and a woman inside laid down on the sofa and pretended like she was asleep. So she wasn't laying down when they first pulled up. Mm-hmm. They flashed the light and she was like, oh shit.
It's light.
Yeah, I'm asleep. It's like the opposite of roaches. Deputies say the woman ignored commands to get out because she was so sleepy. So with the help of California Highway Patrol, law enforcement officers moved in to get her out. The woman later identified as 30-year-old Sonora resident Elizabeth Cooper, allegedly spit in the sergeant's face after being handcuffed like a classy dame. Cooper was arrested and booked on several charges, including burglary, tampering with a vehicle, battery of a peace officer. Karen, guess the race of Mrs. Elizabeth Cooper.
Oh, white.
Okay, Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Ever since the COVID, man, it seemed like more of these motherfuckers have been spitting on people.
Come on.
That's par for the course. Let's see. RV park is a nice way of saying trailer park white. Damn, I was gonna cook meth in here white. Spitting like a pumpkin white. RV Jesse Pinkman and Walter White spit Sleeping Beauty White. DeRosse Dane White. Super Karen Predator. Blue Lives Matter unless I'm trying to get away from the RV theft white. Sleeping Beauty White. Stay Fair White. Spitting White. We don't spit. She was white. White. Everyone went with white on this one and everyone got it correct. You know, I just realized too, somebody that's so pro, oh yeah, just call them murder hornets, you should definitely not be on that side because your name is Karen. And Karen is the worst slur you can call somebody right now these days. And you should know how it feels to be labeled unfairly, but I digress. Anyway, this is the white lady who
hashtag
did the
thing. Not all Karens.
But not all murder hornets.
All the murder hornets.
Nope.
Yeah.
Hashtag not all murder hornets.
I'm
sure not all of them could be murderers.
Look at them. It's in the motherfucking name. You a murderer.
Oh, right. So is Karen is in the motherfucking name.
Nope.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A goddamn nope. Karen.
Nope.
You acting like a Karen on the show right
now. Well, I'll just be one today.
Anti-black hornets.
Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm.
Can't believe you would do our poor black brothers and sisters.
Now, you know I don't be coming like in demanding to speak to a manager. Not all the time.
Mm-hmm. This is the white lady, by the way, looking like a Karen. She looks very sad that she got caught.
She does.
All right, let's go to the next one. Texas mayor apologizes for violating a stay-at-home order in order to go to the nail salon.
You don't say. That's probably why they were pushing for the economy to open back up.
Well, you got to
get getting feelings.
Nails did, hair did, everything did.
Come on.
She fancy, huh? Beaumont Mayor Becky Ames has apologized over...
The name.
Has a... I know, Karen. What an interesting name. So
it is.
Becky was the old Karen. Karen is the new Becky.
Apparently so, but it's not murderous and none of that.
Disagree. Becky,
I know there are some victims after we murdered them with our comments, but that's a whole nother thing.
Y'all Karens be murdering people. Mayor Becky Ames has apologized after a photo of her going to a closed salon made its rounds on social media.
Oh, at least that was closed.
The fucking mayor. Way to be an example to the community. Ames violated her own stay-at-home order, the violation that sparked the investigation by a district attorney. According to NBC News, Governor Greg Abbott issued a stay-at-home order and closed all non-essential businesses, including nail salons. But on April 2nd, she didn't even wait that long. April 2nd? Jesus. Beaumont Mayor Ames had already issued a similar order for her city. Oh, okay. That's when she issued the order. Okay, then cool. I'll get it. A week earlier than the governor on March 27th. But someone caught the mayor in a photo taken at the nail bar in Beaumont last Tuesday wearing a face mask as she's seated at a table with her hands soaking in a bowl. The now infamous photo has brought on heavy criticism of Mayor Ames for disobeying her order in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Mayor Ames issued an apology on Thursday, calling her salon visit a lapse in judgment. Mm-mm. I promise there was no malice intended, she wrote in a statement. I should never have entered the salon last Thursday. I did not intend to take a personal privilege while asking others to sacrifice, and for that I am truly remorseful.
That's a lie.
How can you not mean, how's it even possible for that sentence to be true?
Right,
like what would have to happen for that sentence to be true? I slept walk into a nail salon without my own knowledge. Like I was forced at gunpoint into the nail salon. You could only have meant to take advantage of a privilege that you told other people they could not. There's not even another interpretation of the actions of this woman.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, Karen, guess the race of Mayor Becky.
Oh, white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Let's see. Almost got me with the nail salon. Becky is white. White. Just a quick fill in. White. White is selfish. May her complexion be her protection. White. Aww. Name is a giveaway to freedom. White. The correct answer is, a true Susan according to Twitter. White. Used to privilege white. Lee press on nails white. White French tips. The only black mayors are in Atlanta and DC. She white. She got that call, the manager haircut, white. The correct answer is Becky is white. And I will get her picture on the screen in a second. But as you can see from the picture, guys, in addition to being a white, Becky is also a Karen. She definitely got the haircut. I'm not saying
she got that. I want to do manager haircut.
I'm saying it's possible that Becky's husband is black. I don't know, but whatever color her husband is, she's definitely speaking to a manager.
Oh yeah. Ooh, and she got the two-tone color. Yeah, she's speaking to a manager.
She got the cut. She like, also I gotta keep my nails fresh. I gotta keep them dead for my husband Tyrone at home waiting on me to come back with this manicure to grapefruit them. Okay, don't tell me what I gotta do. Keep my man. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is a rare 2 for 2.
I know, right?
Let's see if she can go 3 for 3. All right. Let's see. You killing these the way you was killing my Hornets jokes. Wow.
I'm on a streak.
You are murdering everything.
It's a murder streak.
Mm-hmm. A murder Karen.
Yes.
That's the worst type of Karen. A Florida man allegedly tried to blame a weapons bust on John Wick. the legendary assassin played by Keanu Reeves in the eponymous movie franchise. According to a new report, cops confronted Gitro Gellin, at his Port St. Lucie home Sunday after a woman told police he shoved her to the ground and threatened her with a firearm. The woman told authorities Gellin may have stashed a weapon in a Porsche SUV. According to the report, cops searched the vehicle and found a Glock 21 pistol, a semi-automatic rifle, and a bulletproof vest.
Damn.
When cops asked Gellin to explain, he explained that the SUV wasn't even his anymore. He sold it to his cousin, John Wick. He later admitted that the John Wick reference was a lie, but would not reveal his cousin's name. Gellin was arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and domestic battery. According to the report, he's being held in lieu of $3,500 bond. Karen, guess of Jetro Gellin or Gitro Gellin? Gellin.
That name. Gitro. It sounds Asian. That's what I'm gonna go with.
Okay. Someone asked how to spell it. Getro is Getro. Keanu's cousin Asian. The day of the Geechee is over. Black. Trying to act movies out in real life. White man. Middle Eastern sand nigga. Black, says AJ. I'm going Hispanic, says Jane. Blasian, says D. Ramsey, trying to cheat. Wick White. So Hispanic, white. All right, Karen, you good over there?
I think I am. That name, Gitro. Yes, I'm stick with it.
You gonna stick? What'd you say, Asian? Mm-hmm. Well, if you said Asian, you got it wrong. If you said anything but black, you got it wrong, because he was black.
Yeah, that's equality. When we can go around and do shit and blame a white man, that's equality.
He said John Wick. He must have really wanted to go to jail. But yeah, that's him
out of the jail.
Yeah, that's him in the picture there. And surprisingly, I don't think he knows John Wick. I feel like if you know John Wick, you either dead or gonna get dead real quick.
Oh, that's a Negro.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very controversial guest of race.
Yeah, with that name, yes.
Haven't had anything this controversial happen since Adele lost all that weight, guys.
Come on.
And everybody was arguing on the internet about it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a real big argument on if you can say a celebrity losing weight is a good thing or not. So.
Well, I don't care. All I know is, honey, she done got divorced, and that album gonna be flames.
Maybe. I was looking at her thinking she's looking a little too happy lately, so you know I'm not a big fan of that.
Oh Lord.
It's like that time Eminem got off them drugs and I was like, the fuck are you doing? He ain't been the same since. Nigga gonna live sober. I wanna live. I'm gonna get off the drugs for my child. Word, nigga. What about these albums? Sorry. Anyway, let's get to the last thing, guys. I heard Adele date black men now. So what if she just lost all that weight because she didn't want to be a stereotype? You know how you niggas do.
You never know.
If Skepta, whatever his name was, would have been dating a fat black white woman, y'all would have been talking about black men and all them stereotypes. Let's not act like it's not true. I know y'all thought that's what the murder hornets is doing. Oh, they dating them fat bumblebees. I know how y'all get down. I know. You think I don't hear? You think I don't got my ears to the streets?
Them murderous bumblebees got baby mamas.
Mm-hmm. I know what y'all be saying about the black men. Okay. I'm hip. I have black women friends. Okay. I've heard the jokes. Adele has under a lot of pressure. She's like, I don't want my men to be getting harassed. Okay. Anyway. Archer of Abbey Street, Carlisle, admitted possessing an offensive weapon in a public space and possessing cannabis. He was jailed for 8 months. That's right. A Carlisle sword thug told a stranger, I'm the hardest man in this street. And that was what he was just talking about, his penis. That's before he even got to the sword. He was jailed for 8 months during a Skype video hearing before Carlisle Crown Court. Prosecutor Kate Hammond said the defendant was walking through the grounds of Carlisle Cathedral at 3:30 p.m. on February 17th when he saw a man named Jason Irvine sitting beneath a stone archway. There was an argument. Archer asked the man, what are you looking at? It was at this point that the defendant claimed he was the hardest man in the street. I mean, why did you ask him what he was looking at? Mr. Irvine responded by swearing at him. What you looking at? You. And it's making me the hardest man in this street, if you know what I'm saying.
No.
What if that's how he meant it? I was flirting with this man, and for some reason he had to take it super to some, he had to take it to a violent place. Okay, he was walking down the street looking all scrumptious, okay, jogging, staying in shape. You know, he said, what you looking at? And I said, I don't know, but right now, I'm the hardest man in these streets. And the next thing you know, this man wanted to fight. It's like you can't even compliment a brother no more. He thought I was talking about, he said, is that a sword in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me? I said, well, both, really, it's a sword. Yeah, so Archer went home and then later emerged from his Abbey Street home with a military style sword.
What military style?
I guess it was some Highlander shit. I'm gonna prove who the hardest in these streets. Using two hands, he pointed aggressively at Mr. Irvine. He threatened him, pointed the sword directly at him, said Miss Hammond. After Archer put the sword down, a fight broke out. Now why did he put the sword down? Not that I'm not thankful, but
right,
what was it, the end of a Mark Wahlberg movie? Like, why the fuck would you put the sword down? Hey, how about this? You put that sword down and you fight me like a man.
Fight a fair one.
That shit only works in the fucking movie. That's man. It. Like, that shit never works in real life. Wow, I can't believe that worked. Oh, you the hardest man in the street, huh? Why don't you put that sword down and we'll settle this like some gentlemen? Okay. This nigga brought a sword to some hands fight and really put the sword down and said, okay, it's a hands fight, my bad, I over prepared. The two men were separated by concerned customers from a nearby cafe. Passing sentence, Judge Barker told Archer he created a significant risk. The consequences could have been gravely severe, whether that be for yourself or for others. Maybe you got his ass whooped or something, I don't know. All right, y'all, that's it. Premium people, will see you tomorrow for Balls Deep Sports, and then Friday should be a nerd off. Everybody else, will see you Saturday for a feedback show. Looking forward to Sunday. My mom will virtually be here for Mother's Day. We got the social distance the podcast. Mm-hmm. But that should be cool. So all right, y'all, until then, until Saturday for feedback, leave 5-star reviews, please. I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.